Hi, this is Ernie Fazio, and the show is Earnestly Speaking. And this is Long Island News Radio at 103.9 FM. And we're talking to Savio Chan. He's the president of the U.S.-China Partnership. He's also an author of a book. And it's the name of the book is China's Super Consumers. And we don't think of China as a big consuming nation. Now, in America, 70% of our economy is based on consumption. That is, I suppose that's a good thing. It's also a bad thing. The Chinese have limited the amount of consumption because they're building an economy. But you say it's growing.
Well, I think that's also one misconception. 5 years ago, Ernie, American consumers is the number one consumers in the world. Today is China consumers. And that's why my book is called China Super Consumers, because they are buying up everything in the world. Now, there's a few things here that driving that changes. Number one, the scale. China have 1.3 billion people. Number two, China has the largest middle class in the world with over 400 million people who are buying cars, iPhones, computers, anything any middle class would buy, houses. But more importantly, what difference of China consumers is they travel around the world. They come to America, they will pack into a little motel in New Jersey or Long Island for $99 a night for three people. But when they go to a store on Fifth Avenue and Louis Vuitton, the Chanel, the Gucci store, they would drop on average $7,000 per tourist. Why? Because China have a very heavy tax on all these luxury goods.
So they can come back in the country without being taxed?
No. They in the same products in China, the luxury goods are heavily taxed.
I understand that, but if
so they buy here, they don't pay tax.
Oh, they will get they'll get a pass on that?
They don't pay what they pay luxury tax locally in China, so it's half the price they pay in China.
But,
so it's a lot
but they got to bring it back if they're going to be Chinese citizens.
Yeah, they are. They're going to go back to China, but they also
but they won't have to pay it at the gate.
No. Okay. So in that way, so they actually, so they're all coming here. They buy a lot of things in America. I go to all these stores in Fifth Avenue. They are all welcoming Chinese people. In fact, for the last 3 years, Ernie, I've been hosting the Chinese New Year party at the number one watch retailer called Tonneau, on Fifth Avenue.
How come I wasn't invited?
Are you not there? Oh, man. Maybe I know that you're cheap. That's why. Anyway. So the key is, every year we bring hundreds of people into the store with the CEO who's Jewish. And the Jewish CEO will say Chinese New Year, Happy Chinese New Year in Mandarin Chinese. And I invited, just this year, 2 months ago, 700 people into the store.
Wow.
And they're all Chinese. They're all shopping there. I have a meeting with the CEO of Louis Vuitton, you know, Valerie Chapelut, and I bring 275 customers into her stores in downtown in Soho, and they shop like crazy. So what I'm trying to tell you is they spend a lot of money.
But how is that going to – how are we going to break the market in China if they don't lower their taxes on the imports?
Well, not only that, you know, but you understand – Colgate toothpaste, Starbucks coffee, all these American brands, they are selling more expensive in China than in America.
Yeah.
And they're still selling like crazy.
But that's not helping the Americans as much as it's helping the taxing authority at
Of course it helps Americans, because when you sell goods in China to the China consumers, you gain revenues. In fact, if not for the Chinese, General Motors would be out of business by now. And all these American brands are deriving profit, massive profits.
By the way, General Motors, Buick is a very popular brand in China.
Number
isn't
one
it?
In China. Number one.
Why is that true?
Well, not because the car is a better car. The car is equally good than the other brand, but because is they have a powerful Chinese partner called Shanghai Automotive Industry Group, SAIC, who is a joint venture partner for General Motors when they first go into China. And SAIC is a very powerful, substantial company. So they use their muscles to really help General Motors to get their car into China. So Buick become a brand, a name brand, luxury brand in China.
I see. You know, one of the things that were disturbing me, and I think you should address it, is the fact that intellectual property is not respected by the Chinese people or by the government of China. And that's, you know, if I'm an inventor and I want to bring something in and I want to get it manufactured in China, I don't want the Chinese manufacturer to disassemble that to find out exactly how all the, you know, the intricacies of it so he can make it under his own name. I don't want that to happen.
Well, I understand what you're saying. And this is also a common perception about Chinese people always copy your stuff and steal your intellectual property. It's still a problem in China, although it has been a lot better now. The government is making a major crackdown on these copycats. And they might go to jail and even get killed, you know, if they copy our stuff. But more importantly, look at the facts. The facts are, Ernie, are 90% or 95% of the Fortune 500s do business in China are making a profit. And if you go to the American Chamber of Commerce in Shanghai or Beijing, they'll tell you the same facts and figures. Google it, you will see it. Okay? So it's not what I say, it's what the facts told you. Besides that, all the most successful companies in America, Starbucks, Apple, you know, General Motors, Boeing, they all bring their most intelligent intellectual property to China. Why? Because it's a huge market. And they protect them.
Yeah.
And the government support them, and they still make billions of dollars of profits in China. Yeah, Starbucks have thousands of shops in China. China drink tea, but it doesn't matter. They're successful in China. Even though they have a copycat Starbucks stores every now and then, it's minor compared to the,
well, we
the gain.
There's copycat Apple stores.
But it doesn't matter. Do you know how much Apple make in the last 5 years in China? You don't know?
No,
but,
I don't. I wouldn't.
But I'll tell you this. 5 years ago, Steve Jobs emailed me and asked me about how to sell iPhone in China. And I guided him to do that. Long story short, Apple has been only doing business in China right now, only 5 years. Last year, Apple did about $20 billion of sales in China alone. From zero to $20 billion of iPhone and iPad and iMac in China, right? So now, is there anything people copying Apple stuff? I'm sure there is, but I know it's not $20 billion.
Yeah.
Maybe a few million dollars here and there, but it's minute compared to that.
I remember you were making a presentation at Adelphi, and you were talking about the cultural differences and how they don't take it so serious that if they take something from you without, you know, and I said, you remember what I said? I said, well, if I have lunch with you, Savio, and I get up to go to the washroom and I come back and you ate my sandwich, you'd say, all right, that's okay.
Yeah. Well, I think that, you know, but keep in mind that that's exactly right. Chinese people have a
so I have to buy a sandwich that you don't like.
That's right. And in China, keep in mind, copying is also a form of learning.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, in China, the culture and the mindset is, you know, they don't perceive copying things like that is a crime. They don't know that it's a crime. Intellectual property law is a very new thing in China.
But it's going to be something that I think they will get used to, because
they have their own brands now.
We're all in the same family.
They have their own brands now. Yeah. They have their own brands
and they
now
want to protect those brands.
Of course. So that's what I'm saying.
It's a two-way street.
It's an evolution. So it's going to get better and better every year, but you should not let that stop you from selling your things in China. Have all the precautions, but make sure that you still sell in China.
And above all, make sure you hire Savio Chan to give you some guidance.
Well, if you cannot afford me, I'm only $5,000 a day, but if you cannot afford me, buy my books, only $18 on Amazon.
$18 and I don't have to talk to you anymore?
Exactly. It's published by John Wiley & Sons. It's coming out in July, but you can buy it on Amazon now. It's for pre-sale, for pre-order. I want to, with your help, Ernie, I want to make this a New York Times bestseller.
I'd be happy to help you. You know how influential I am.
I know. You're Mr. Long Island, my friend. You know?
From your lips to God's ears.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think it's this, in the order is Oprah, Lady Gaga, and Ernie.
Wait a minute. I thought you said I was tops.
Well, for men, it's Oprah, and Lady Gaga is a woman. Okay. You're the top man. That's all. You're more powerful than Jay-Z, man.
Jay-Z?
Yeah. You know who Jay-Z is?
I know you know. What do you think I am? Under a rock?
I know his wife, Beyonce, but you probably doesn't know who Jay-Z is. Even a Chinese guy like me know him.
This has been a bundle of laughs. I had a lot of fun talking to you.
Well, thank you.
And, you know, you really do have an important job. And because it's going to help the Chinese people, it's going to help the American businessmen, too. And eventually, as we equalize the terrain, we'll all prosper out of it. And I think that's what you're up to.
Thank you, Annie. I really appreciate it. I think that China and U.S. can prosper together. We can learn from each other. And the more understanding we have for both cultures, we'll succeed together to build the economy and create jobs.
Thank you. This is Ernie Fazio, and this is Earnestly Speaking. I've been talking to Savio Chen, the president of the U.S. partnership, U.S.-China partnership, and an author of China's Super Consumers, which is available on Amazon. Thanks so much for coming in, Savio.
Thank you. 谢谢.
Okay.